Hello, welcome to the Good Book Club for Epiphany 2019. Today is February the 5th, 2019. This is day 27 of the Good Book Club. Today's reading is taken from Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to do something a bit differently today. I'm going to read the scripture passage in a moment, but I was telling someone the other day that if your only interaction with the scripture reading for the day is to listen to me read it, no matter how hard I try, what might be lost in my readings is the frequency of Paul's quotations from Hebrew scripture. And today is no different, as Paul is, again, trying to make his argument for the both and. The both, Israel continues to reject the faithfulness of Jesus, and Israel continues to be God's people. God does not renege on God's promises, but what are we to make of this conundrum? Today I'm also going to read a bit that I wrote back in 2008 when I preached through Paul's epistle to the Romans, mainly because I think, particularly in chapter 11, I think what I wrote back then summarizes with some precision what I've been trying to say off the top of my head over these last several days. So, here we go. This is a reading from Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have demolished your altars. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. But what is the divine reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 who have not bowed to the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a sluggish spirit, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they can no longer see and keep their backs forever bent. In Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, Paul inserts himself into the argument for the third time. He did this back in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 9 and then verses 1 through 4 of chapter 10. Paul sees his own identity as a Jew as evidence that God has not put away God's people, which, by the way, is a reference to Psalm 94:14. This psalm was written during the exile in Babylon and asked God to deliver Israel from its enemies. The historical context of the psalm hints at a theology of remnant. Paul has already explored this idea of remnant in chapter 9, verses 27 through 28, where he hinted that it might not be a small size threatened by Isaiah, but instead the huge number promised in Hosea. This is from Kathy Grebe's commentary on Romans. In 11, 2b through 4, Paul revisits the size of the remnant by referencing and briefly retelling the story of Elijah from 1 Kings 19. In that story, the prophet Elijah complains to God about a rebellious people. Twice, Elijah contends that the people of Israel have forsaken God's covenant, and further, that only Elijah is remaining faithful to God. Responding to Elijah's complaint, God says, yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel. That's from 1 Kings 19, verse 18. In Romans 11:4, though Paul changes the tone of the verb in 1 Kings 19:18 to a past tense, I have reserved for myself, Paul writes. Paul's retelling of this story leads him to theologize that the remnant God has already preserves witnesses to God's grace. So then, also in the present time, he writes, a remnant has come into being, chosen by grace. But if by grace it is no longer of works, otherwise grace would no longer be grace. That's yours truly's translation. As Leander Keck observes in his commentary, the sovereign freedom of God means that God's dealing with Israel has never depended on human merit or achievement. God's grace has never been anything but sheer grace, never a mere generous response to human achievement. From verses 7 through 10, Paul engages the paradox with that what Israel was pursuing, it failed to reach, while at the same time, those who were not seeking, the Gentiles, have somehow become elect. He returns to an earlier point of the argument that he made in chapter 9, verses 31 through 32, when he quoted Isaiah 28:16 and Isaiah 8:14 through 15, where he had described God as laying a stone in Zion that would cause stumbling, a rock that would make them fall. He does so, writes Kathy Grebe, in order to set up his next rhetorical question in 11:11, which is, have they stumbled so far? Has Israel stumbled so far as to fall? While there is ambiguity in the notion of God's hardening of hearts, remember Paul's use of that phrase in chapter 9, verses 17 through 18, and his allusion to the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, Paul is horrified at the fate he fears for unbelieving Israel. In verses 8 through 10, he quotes bits from Isaiah, Deuteronomy, and Psalms to illustrate the possibilities ahead for those who reject the gospel. And as I've said before, throughout this section, Paul is bringing everything that he can bring to bear to try and make sense for what is a severe conundrum for him. He's doing the work of theology, and that's what is so spectacular to me in reading this particular section of Romans, is to see a theological mind at work. Well, we'll continue with chapter 11 tomorrow. No telling where Paul will go from here. Let us pray. O God, whose wonderful deeds of old shine forth even to our own day, you once delivered by the power of your mighty arm your chosen people from slavery unto Pharaoh, to be a sign for us of the salvation of all nations by the water of baptism. Grant that all the peoples of the earth may be numbered among the offspring of Abraham and rejoice in the inheritance of Israel through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.